Hey, welcome. Special live edition of the Making Sense podcast. I have washed the mashed potato off my arm after the kids' dinner. I've got my hot chocolate. It's ready to go. And I only smell a little bit like toddler bathwater. So that's great. We're going to get into some reader mail on this one because this question gets pretty real about something a lot of people deal with, but hardly ever talk about. And that's why it's so important that we actually talk about it tonight. What to do when you inherit money and there is this pressure to not screw it up, especially if, like this listener has, they've been on minimum wage their whole life. And now you have what feels like once in a lifetime opportunity to make some financial progress. Our listener is trying to figure out how to juggle study, raising a family, buying a first home, and making sure that her dad's gift builds her a better future, not just gets chipped away bit by bit. So we're going to break down her plan, the risks that she's already spotted, and a few she hasn't yet, and some smart moves she can make from here. So if you are watching live, I really want you to jump into the comments, but keep it helpful and respectful. This is a supportive space. But I do think this is the sort of issue where community wisdom can really help. So I want your thoughts on what you would and wouldn't do in this situation. But remember, supportive space always. And just let me know as well, if you're joining, whether you're on YouTube, whether you're on TikTok, just jump into the chat so that I know that you can see and hear what's going on here. Because that's always important. Right. We're going to get into it. First of all, disclaimer. We have to do this because we're dealing with a personal situation, right? So we are going to be dealing with one person's letter and their situation, but this can't be taken as individual financial advice, right? This is general information about what would work for most people in this situation. Even though she's given us lots of great info about what she wants to do, her situation, there's always something that can be missed out. You can't distill your entire life into one letter. So there could always be something that's been missed that would totally change what I would say about this. So do remember, if you're listening to this, lovely listener, and you're thinking that doesn't quite fit my situation, you know your situation better than I do. And I do talk about how to find a good financial advisor in this. Okay. So that's really important. All right, on to it. The letter. Let me pull it up. Right. Here we go. Anonymized, of course. So some details have been mildly changed. So, my amazing dad unfortunately passed away 2021, a month before I became pregnant with my son, who I share with my partner. I left high school when I was 16. I have only ever worked at fast food restaurants or retail stores, earning minimum wage, not saving a single dime. Now, the sizable inheritance I received from my dad's passing gave me the confidence to finally begin studying the Bachelor of Teaching, Early Childhood Education. I love this! Which I am only a couple of months out from completing my first year. Fantastic, congratulations. My partner and I have not purchased our first home yet, as we have never felt secure enough to do so. Now that I have the inheritance, I am working towards earning a degree and my partner has a secure job. We feel as though we may be able to get serious about purchasing a home after our rental lease runs out March next year. That is so exciting. My inheritance has caused me a lot of mixed emotions over the last few years. I feel a sense of security, but at the same time, I feel stressed because this is my only opportunity of having the substantial, to me, amount of money. So I have refused to spend any of it unless absolutely necessary in fear of losing the money and having nothing to show for it. Therefore, I have been keeping it locked away in a term deposit. The rates just keep going down, and because I use the earned interest to support me through the year, as I am only working part-time due to studying, rather than reinvesting it back into the term deposit, the inheritance seems to be slowly going down. We hope to have another child at some stage, probably after I've completed my study, and we just want to be financially stable enough to go away for a family weekend every few months or to do a family holiday overseas once a year or so. So far, we have never been overseas, and we've only had a weekend away a handful of times. Therefore, I thought the responsible thing to do with my inheritance was to use 70% of it as a deposit on our first home, along with my partner and I's sizable KiwiSaver amounts, and to invest the other 30% for retirement, but pull out a couple of grand once a year or so to support a trip away. I just did your money bootcamp course. Now I'm unsure if my idea of putting most of my inheritance onto a mortgage is a good idea rather than investing the whole lot. Okay, so that is a whole lot of things happening there. There is a lot of layers of emotion and a lot of layers of money, right? It is a really, really hard one. So we're going to dive right into this. First of all, I just want to start with the point that I think you're doing an incredible job, and I don't want to underplay that as we get into what you should or shouldn't do. You've been through a lot here. So you're losing your dad. You've become a parent, going back to study, trying to build a better future for your family. And all the time you've got the weight of this inheritance that is an amazing gift, but also comes with so much emotion attached to it, the pressure not to waste it. And from the sounds of it, you're carrying all of that pressure with so much grace, frankly. You're really thinking this through. So good on you. I also think that the feelings that you're having about the fear and the pressure to not, you know, waste it, that is just so normal. Money that comes with grief attached to it has a really different emotional weight to it. It's not just dollars and cents. There's a whole level of love, opportunity, responsibility all mixed into this. So it's okay, I think, that it feels heavy. I think if you give yourself permission for it to feel heavy and to want to be careful with it, that's all part of the love that comes with it, right? So again, I've got some points. I've got 4 points that I want you to consider on this one. And we're going to run through those, how that relates to your plan, pros and cons. But again, going to reiterate, there's no way I know your full situation from one letter. So don't forget that. These are all pointers, places for you to go and do some more research yourself next. And I do think chatting to a financial advisor for a proper assessment, probably a good idea. And I also want people, whether you're watching on YouTube, whether you're watching on TikTok, I really do think this sort of situation where it is loaded with emotion and what to do next really benefits from some community wisdom. So if you have thoughts already, jump into the comments. I'll read them a little bit later. But let's share the community wisdom on this one and all help each other out in a supportive way. Okay, so onto your plan. What you've laid out sounds really smart. 4 points I want you to consider in terms of how we could maybe make this better. So, 1, using 70% of it as a house deposit. Now, I know you say you went through money bootcamp and you're now feeling a bit confused. This 70% for a house deposit makes so much sense to me for your situation. You have a family. You want to expand your family. And from the sound of your letter, security is a really important value for you. So buying your own home in this situation gives you something incredibly valuable. Yeah. And I'm not just talking financially, but also emotionally and practically, because housing, it gets into all of those layers. So let's start with the housing security. No longer at the mercy of a landlord, maybe selling the property or raising the rent every year. That matters even more when you have young kids and you want probably stable schools and a settled community, right? That's really important when you're at the family stage of life. There's also the protection when you've bought a house. There's the protection from rent inflation. So over time, rents do go up. Recently, they've been rising faster than a lot of people's incomes, especially in New Zealand and Australia. You know, my Australian followers, I'm not forgetting you. You've also got it rough. Having a mortgage you control is more predictable and manageable long term, usually. You basically lock in the price of the house when you buy. And yeah, interest rates can go up and down, but locking in the price and then paying it off, so valuable. And when you own your own home, you also have the ability to shape your life more. So do you want to paint the walls? Knock down a wall? Do you want to get a pet? It's your home. And those little freedoms really add up to a much better quality of life. But, and I think this is why maybe doing my course made you feel a bit unsure of yourself, because this is something important you've picked up on. Your home can be really good for you financially. That doesn't make it a financial investment. People get so mad when I say that, but it's a really actually important difference, so that you know how to balance out your money. Once your house is paid off, that's a really big saved cost. Housing is one of the biggest costs we have, so that's a massive deal financially. And it's a really good life foundation, all of those things I've just talked about. But an investment makes you money so that you don't have to work until you die. And a house doesn't do that. Yeah? And so you need money at some point. We all have to eat. Even once the mortgage is gone, there are still little costs to keep the house running, like rates and insurance and maintenance. And that's why I'm really pleased to hear you say you're thinking 70% onto the house and then 30% for other money strategies, because that's smart. That's hedging your bets. We like to have more than one thing in the mix, yeah, when we're dealing with our money. Always, always just having a little bit of spread. We talk about this with investing. We talk about this with some of our savings. But it's honestly, it's a good strategy in any area of your money. Just spread your bets, not all one thing, right? So yeah, we're seeing some people jump in the comments saying, yeah, they're liking the 70% plan as well. So there you go. The community has got your back on this as well. Yeah, getting some great comments through. I love it. Guys, keep adding your comments and I will go through them all at the end so that we can get that beautiful community wisdom through, because there's already so much good stuff coming through. Okay, point 2 of 4. So let's dive into how hard that other 30% of the inheritance could be working for you. So you say investing the other 30%. Now, keeping some money separate and investing it for your future, make sure you're not something they call house rich, cash poor, which is a trap a lot of people accidentally fall into, and you don't want to fall into that trap. This is when you've technically got a house that's worth a lot of money, but what you do with that, if you sell it, where will you live? You have to live somewhere. And this is, again, why I say a house isn't necessarily technically an investment, because people will be like, oh, I'll just sell it and downsize. That is so much harder than people often expect. It often does not work out for people. So you have to live somewhere. You end up with this really expensive asset and you can't touch any of the money on it, right? So you need other options. And you lay out in your letter some of the things that you value in life other than just home ownership, family holidays, time together, feeling a little breathing space, not just scraping by, building a strong retirement so that your future self can live comfortably too. And I so agree, that's all the good stuff in life. You don't want too much, but the stuff that you do want is the important stuff. I love it. I think you've got your priorities absolutely straight. But I do have a note on putting the entire rest of the 30% into investments. Just a little thought and something I think you might not have considered. So you say until now, you've never saved and you were working lower paid jobs. I get it. I love that you're studying now, by the way. But I think we still want to be sure that you have some savings as well as investments. And in fact, if I had to choose, I mean, obviously both is amazing and I love investing. I think it's so good for us. If I had to choose only one, you want savings over investments. I don't think you have to choose, but that's how important savings are. Don't skip them. You need the now money that keeps you safe from all of life's little curveballs, things that can happen. We all know how crazy life can get, right? Investments are fantastic at earning money for you. That's what we use the share market for. You put your money into a bunch of businesses and you get some of the profit back. Love it. But it's not guaranteed. I mean, look what's happening with the economy right now. A lot of businesses are having a bad time. You get boom years, you get wah-wah years. It balances out in the end. It really does. But you don't want to be stressed out in the years where it's a little flat, because they happen. Part of the process. But you need to make sure you've got the plan already for when you have those years that aren't as good. So I think you could split this 30% up just a little bit more. So you've got your 70% house deposit, 30% into other things, not just investments. I think you need to include some savings in here. This is your short-term savings. So things like money that you could need in an emergency, say 3 months of your expenses. If you or your partner lost your job, that happens. Bills got to stay paid. And then also any short-term goals you might have, like the travel, right? So 2 to 5K, put that into something like a term deposit so it's earning a little bit of interest until your holiday rolls around. It's great. And you might have other goals too. Those are so cool. I love it. You can have any type of goal you want, fun goals, serious goals. They're all good. But if it's short-term money, keep it out of the share market. And you want it in a savings account or term deposit instead. Short-term money, I'm meaning under 5 years before you think you're going to spend it. Shares are for money you won't need for at least 5 years, probably more like 10 for most people. And then after you've got that sorted, the rest goes into your long-term investments. And that will hopefully keep earning, keep building your wealth. And you don't need it now. You can use it to keep building your future so that you don't feel like your nest egg is constantly shrinking, right? So that's your future money there. So you could put it into shares, which hopefully you feel confident about after doing Money Bootcamp. We've got that shares section. A fund, a growth KiwiSaver, or a growth fund outside of KiwiSaver. So many options. And I hope you would feel comfortable sort of looking at those after doing Money Bootcamp. And you can keep adding to those shares or savings once you're out of study and earning. But just don't forget the savings for now. They are super important for saving you from unpleasant surprises, okay? Cool. All right, team, keep jumping in. If you have thoughts on this, keep adding your comments on what you would do in this situation, because we're coming up to point 3 or 4 of what I think. And then we can get into the community wisdom of what you guys think, because sometimes I forget something. Can't be out of touch. So join in and tell me your reckons. Okay. Point 3 of 4. How many are there? It's late at night here. 3 of 4. So your home deposit concerns. You are right. Term deposit interest rates are going down. That's why the split between investments and savings is important. The savings are great because they protect your money. If you need it right now, that's important. That's why you should always have some money on that. Share market can go down really fast. We've seen that lately. It can go down faster than you can take money out of it. You usually can't react fast enough. You don't want to be trying to sell shares once the market has gone down, right? So we have now money that we keep on hand in savings. And we are sacrificing a little bit of earnings on those in order to have security. So this is the thing is, you have some now money that is protected from the market going up and down, so you know what it's going to be worth. It's basically in cash. Everyone agrees what a dollar is worth, unless you live somewhere like Venezuela. We're in New Zealand. So everyone agrees what a dollar is worth. It's safe. It's sound. It's there if you need it, right? The sacrifice there is that it's not going to earn heaps for you. Then you have your future money, which can go into the share market. You can do more interesting things with it. You can earn way more in it over time. The sacrifice there is it's an up and down. And that's how you make money. You can't avoid the up and down with shares. That's how you make the money. So each one has pros and cons. You need both. They balance it out. Yeah? So the hard part that you've found already about relying on the term deposits for income is that your money doesn't grow fast enough to replace what you're pulling out of it. Now, I know you're studying. That's fine. Totally understandable. The nest egg, however, will slowly shrink. And you're at a difficult stage of life where you're studying and you've got a kid and you would like another one and you're trying to figure things out. Again, all good. It's just, you know, you need to understand the sacrifice you're making there. And this is another reason why putting most of it into a home, so you're stabilizing your housing costs there and investing the rest where it can grow properly, and then having a little bit of now money to keep you secure from life's horrible stuff. Really sensible. I love it. You've done so well here, taking your time to think about this and make a plan and learn more. I feel like this is one of those things where you've thought about it really well. You've taken a beat. And often that has been something I've talked about in other situations where people have talked about an inheritance and they've said, you know, they're really feeling the pressure. Cool. Take 6 months to a year to think about it. But you've done that. You know, this inheritance, well, your dad passed away in 2021. I don't know how long it took to process the inheritance. Often there's a while. But, you know, now it's 2025. And so I often say take a beat of 6 months to a year. I'm sure you've taken that time. After that, you don't want to get stuck in analysis paralysis because you can end up just kind of freezing and not doing anything, which is also dangerous. Yeah. So this leads me to my last point. Point four, which actually I know I've done this last, but I would actually say this is the most important point of all. I want us to zoom out and look at the big picture. You are not using up or losing or spending your dad's gift. I want you to think of this as just transforming it. It's becoming something new. I hear how much pressure you feel to just not waste this money. I think that's so understandable. And you say yourself, your dad was amazing and this money can help you change things. And you know, he loved you and he wanted the best for you. Which create, like, that's all great stuff, but it also creates so much pressure because a big lump sum of money is scary anyway, especially if you've been minimum wage until now and this is the most money you've seen before. And now you have these extra layers of emotional pressure on top of it as well. So I just, and it's so cringe to be sincere on the internet, I know, but I'm going to say this super sincerely. You are making the most of this money, whatever you choose to do with it. Because you know what your priorities are, and they are so great. And even the fact that you have taken the time to think about the future you want for your family and what your priorities are and what you want your life to be is actually beautiful. And your dad's already gifted you this real clarity to help you and your partner get on the same page and have these conversations about what a good life looks like to you guys. You're already winning just by having that conversation. You know, you want to build a safe, happy home for your family. You want to create a career for yourself that is meaningful and amazing. Massive shout out to early childhood educators because I love you guys. Ours are a huge part of our village. They just light up my son's life. I'm so grateful to them on a weekly basis. So I love that that's where you're going. I hope you really enjoy it. You also know that you want to carve out some room for joy and nothing flashy or silly. You just want some family weekends away, some future holidays, some memories that you can make together. I love this. Look, I'm not your dad. I don't know him, but I'm proud of you right now. I feel like he would be too. I feel like this sounds really good. If my kids grew up, I'd left them something like this and this is what they wanted to do, I'd be stoked. I'd be like, yes, this is it. This is surely exactly what he wanted for you. So I just want you to sort of zoom out a little bit and take some of the pressure off yourself, because whatever you do with the money, whatever you do with this inheritance, it's not going to be perfect. Nothing in life is. Yeah. We make little mistakes all the time, but the overall picture that you're building is fantastic. That's the focus. Okay. Big picture. Good. Then make some room for little mistakes within that. That's fine. You can course correct as you go. The picture you are building is, I mean, look, a meteor can always strike, but there's not that much room for a total fatal error. You know, I did see someone in the TikTok comments before saying, just buy all Bitcoin. If you'd sent me that, I'd be like, don't do that. But that's not what you're saying. You're saying, you know, a bit on the house and a little bit into investments. And I'm kind of nudging you to say, don't forget your savings. Brilliant. So, okay, those are my 4 points. Practical next steps, yeah? Talk to a mortgage advisor, even if you're not sure you're ready to buy, yeah? They can help you figure out what's realistic and sort of what extras you might need to budget for, things like legal fees, even moving costs. And they'll help you figure out whether you're eligible for things like the first home grant, if you meet the criteria. There's heaps more on mortgages on previous Making Sense podcast episodes. So if you or anyone listening to this wants more on that, just have a little scroll back through the Making Sense podcast and have a little listen to those, get yourself up to speed, see if that helps. But you'll see there's a theme there where often mortgage advisors can actually get people into a house faster than that person had expected. And the advice can save you so much money. A mortgage advisor is also free to you. They charge the bank. So you could also, yeah, so that's mortgage advisors. You could also open an investment account now. I know that you're just sort of thinking of chipping things away for a moment, but maybe start small with that investment. Instead of taking that entire 30% or 20 or 25%, whatever's left once you've done some savings as well, instead of taking that whole lot and hucking it into the market at once, you know, start investigating the first home and also maybe just start getting comfortable with the idea of shares by doing something like putting in $20 a week. You're obviously going to do more than that by the end, but this will get you used to how the share market works. You will learn by doing, but with small amounts, which takes some of the pressure off. I think that's a massive thing with the share market, is it is going to go up and down. And I got to tell you, I remember my first proper big market dip was that March 2020, COVID. I know none of us like that word anymore. That dip there, that was my really big first one. And there was a lot going on at that time to distract me, but it was not fun. I knew that a market dip was normal. I knew it would bounce back. And it was still not fun. It still felt like the world was ending. It still created this feeling of, but this time is different. Every time anyone who's going through their first market dip will say, but this time it's different, because they are all kind of different from each other. And so you can really freak yourself out no matter how much learning you've done. It's going to be a lot easier to stay calm and remind yourself this is normal if you've built up $200 in there rather than it's like $20,000 from your dad in the market and you're terrified of getting this wrong. Yeah. So if you start out with $20 a week and just see how that goes, I really think that's a way to get yourself used to it while you're going through this process. Yeah. So the other one, I did say I would do a financial advisor tip. I do think that could be a good idea, a financial advisor to talk this over with. If you're looking for someone, I always recommend the website for New Zealanders, financialadvice.nz, because anyone on there is a registered, qualified financial advisor. That is so important. You want someone who is registered with the Financial Markets Authority. That's our money police, because if anything goes wrong, you've got a way to sort that out. But the fact that they're registered and qualified there, you're already onto a winner. And then you can also search for people in your area and you can search by specialty. Now, once you've found some that you think could be good, pick three that you think could be good, ask for an initial get to know you meeting. They should be able to give you that for free. And a key question that you want to ask them is, what have you done to help other people in a similar situation to mine? Yeah? Because different financial advisors can specialize in different things. They might specialize in people who are already retired, or they might specialize in helping people get into property investment, or they might specialize in people at the beginning stages of their life building up some wealth, which would be more like you. And not only do you want to know that they've got expertise in dealing with people in your type of situation, but you also want to know that they understand your life goals and that they get it and that they are on your side to achieving those life goals. Yeah? Because money is always about more than just the money. Money is also about, what life are you building? So you need to know that they get your goals, they're on board with them, and they want to help you achieve them. That's super important. And talking about it in terms of other clients will also make it make more sense to you, because they're going to be giving examples the whole time instead of talking like percentages and compound interest and all that stuff that makes you glaze, you know? And as well, if you feel like they're talking down to you at any point, get out of there. You are not dumb. They're a dick. A great sign of intelligence is someone that can make complicated stuff seem simple. If they are talking down to you, or it all sounds too complicated and you don't get it, and they make you feel bad for asking questions, they are not the one for you. Get out of there. Okay. What else do I want to say? Let me just double check my notes on this, because I don't want to miss anything. Yeah, I think I've almost covered everything. Ah, yes, no. Do keep protecting your future self by thinking about life insurance and health insurance and a will. You've got kids now. A will does not have to cost much. But if you've got a KiwiSaver, which I'm sure you do, and especially if you're buying a house, you should actually have a will. But especially if you've got kids. So yeah, health insurance, life insurance, a will. A financial advisor can potentially also help you with all of that. Yeah. And then lastly, this is still really important. Please don't neglect this point. Celebrate small wins along the way. Because I know, look, there's a lot of pressure to make the most of an inheritance like this. You've been working your butt off. You really want to make this good. You want to make the most of this money. You want to make your dad proud. I know all the pressure is on. But I really like your point about also having little family holidays. And I think you're so right to make that a priority. You don't have to spend heaps to have a big celebration, but it might be a little bit. It's really worth it. Having some money set aside for that, it is what makes life sparkle. Life can go by in this grind and blur if you do not take the time to celebrate the little moments within it. And this is something I'm working on a lot myself right now, where I'm like, Christmas, we're going hard. Easter, we're going hard. Every birthday, we're going hard. It doesn't mean I'm spending a lot of money, but it does mean I am pulling the three-year-old aside during the baby's nap time, and we are making a cake together, and we are decorating it with Easter flowers, and we're inviting the family round, and everyone is eating the cake that my three-year-old made and giving him lots of compliments, and he is just glowing with pride, you know? You have to celebrate the milestones and the moments in life, otherwise it just goes past in this blur of hard work. So every milestone, so finishing your year of study is coming up. Celebrate it. Building up your savings, buying the house, if you do that, it deserves celebration. And think about how you get. I still remember how we celebrated buying our first house. We got takeaway pizza, and I think it was literally a bottle of Lindauer. So it was bubbles, but it was like $18 bubbles. But we sat on the empty floor of our first house and we ate pizza and we drank cheap, horrible bubbles and had a great, actually, I shouldn't call Lindau horrible. I really enjoyed it. But still, it was fun and I remember it. And honestly, we'd earned it and we enjoyed it and you've earned it and you're doing so well. So if you need permission for that, I'm giving you permission for that right now. Please celebrate the moments along the way. It's super duper important. Yeah. Okay, so the comment section has been going off, particularly TikTok, but also a few on YouTube as well. And I love this. So We are going to dive into those now. It's mostly comments so far, but if you have questions that you want to chat about as well, then let's do it. Drop your questions, drop your comments, thoughts on this whole situation, what you would do, what you wouldn't do. We're doing it now. If you have any other money questions, jump in now. We can talk about those too, but let's do it. Yeah, I love this. It sounds like the reader who emailed has done a sensible thing by holding it in a term deposit until they could be certain whether their decision was colored by grief. Totally agree. Totally agree. That's a really important thing. When you get, especially inheritances, this big lump sum, lump sums are notorious for freaking people out and creating silly decisions anyway, but then you've got this layer of grief on top and it can just be a nightmare. It can be a real difficult situation. So I always say, give yourself 6 months to a year at least and just give yourself time. This is a good point. Yeah, with the early childhood education teaching and wanting to buy a house, don't forget to look at how much the value of the house you purchase on your income, not just the required deposit. I think that's a great point. So what Kylie's saying there is, and this is a great thing, if you go and talk to a mortgage advisor, they'll help you figure this out, is don't just forget you need a deposit on the house. You'll need to keep paying off a certain amount of it. And you're studying for a great career. ECE teachers, unfortunately, I think teachers should get paid a lot more, but it isn't the world's most high-paying career. So you might still have some limitations on sort of income and ongoing affordability. A mortgage advisor will help you figure that out. And that should be so good. Ah, this is interesting. Might have missed this, but have they thought about putting some into a kid's shares account? Now, I like what you're saying there, but I actually think in a situation like this where there's already sort of places where the money needs to go and they're potentially worried about ongoing costs and making sure they're still, you know, paying things off and having good holidays together as a family and building those memories. My thought for the kids would be to make sure that as you learn more about money and as you keep investing for yourself, that you are talking to the kids about the decisions you're making and why. Because then you're giving your kids the understanding of how money works. That is, if you give them nothing else, if I had to choose between giving my kids a lump sum and giving them the knowledge, I would genuinely pick the knowledge. It's not one of those things of like, ooh, you know, let me hustle harder. It really is that thing of if people get that lump sum land on them and they don't know how it works, that often they blow it. So if you show your kids the decisions you're making and why and keep them in there in the mix and talking to you about it, I think that's more powerful. And then I would be maybe encouraging the kids if they, in the future, obviously a while away, if you've just had one baby and you're thinking about a second, so in, you know, 10, 15 years. Ooh, this one is a good question. What if you are a homeowner with no mortgage and inherit a large amount but are cash poor? What's a good strategy for a large cash sum when you don't need to buy your own home? I love that. And look, again, this is a very short question. I don't know anything about your situation, but if you already had a sum that was, you already had a home that was paid off and you are having issues with being cash poor, I would take just a sliver to enjoy and to maybe do something fun. But then I personally would take the rest and put it into shares, because that will keep providing you income. Like I said, it's not going to be every year it's giving you 10 or 15%. It's going to be up and down. And you probably want to make sure someone's in savings too. But that will mean that it is growing a lot and you are getting more income from that. If you've already got the stable base of a paid off home, amazing. What a gift. It means once you've got that stable paid off base, you can take more risks with the rest of your money. If you're comfortable with that, make sure that as you're going, you are doing things like having the savings. Now I'm scrolling back on TikTok. TikTok gives you like a million notifications, which makes it hard to make sure I'm seeing your questions. So let me just double check there. I did see some come through. What's the best option for the most cost-effective will? That's a great question. You can get little like kit set wills where you literally download something off the internet. Double check it's legitimate. But you can just download it off the internet. You make sure that you're fine with that. You take it to a lawyer and they sign it off. You will need to get it signed off or like notarized in some way with a lawyer just to make sure it's like official and there's a record of it somewhere. But you can do that quite cheaply. I would say I just went straight up to a lawyer and said, here's what we're thinking. Very simple. Can you do that? It wasn't a complicated situation, really. And they drew it up and it was a couple of $100, which I know can be a lot to some people. But I really think for the amount of hassle that you're saving in the future, often what can happen after you die if there's no will is things can take a year or more to get sorted out. And your money might not go to the people you thought it would. The default system is actually often not what people expect. And especially if you've got a KiwiSaver, almost everyone does, you should have a will. Definitely if you've got kids, definitely if you've got a house, please sort out a will. It's cheaper than you think. Okay, I don't know if TikTok has just swallowed your comments because I saw there were more of them. So if you have them, drop them in quick because it has just said that, there we go. Not helpful TikTok. It has just jumped in all of these things of people doing likes and joining, which is great. Love to see you guys, but it hasn't showed me your comments. And I saw other ones coming through before. Here we go. Oh, yes. And another question on, yes. So if you don't have a mortgage and you did get a lump sum, what about property investment? Here's the thing with property investment versus shares. I honestly think it comes down to a personality issue. And both are great. Both of them can be amazing for different reasons. So property, the thing you want to know about property investment, if you're thinking that, do not expect it to be passive income, please. I know there are so many people hawking how property can be passive income. It very rarely works out that way in reality. Please believe me, I've talked to so many property investors. The real property investors, most of them are not calling it passive income. You need to be ready to do repairs, to vet tenants. And if all of that is your jam, and learn, you know, the rental laws, that it can be a little tricky. And if all of that is your jam, awesome. You can do well and you can be a good landlord. Just do make sure you're a good landlord because this is, you know, people who are living there and it's really important that we get it right. Yeah, you can do great with investment property and it can also give you more stable money coming in because you know how much that rental income is each week, unless the house ends up empty for a while, which can happen. So you want to factor that in too. But yeah, personally, I'm a shares girly because that is far more hands-off. I put my money in the market. It does its thing. I get some money back. It's great. I carry on with my life. I don't really have to do much about it. I love that for me. It's just easier. And over time, shares tend to give more money back than property. But it is more up and down along the way. Property is a bit more stable, but it does actually give a little bit less than shares. So I would say that depends on your money personality and what you're looking to get from it. And again, talk to a financial advisor because they will help you. If you're tossing up between the two, they will help you figure that out and what you want to do next. Okay, cool. I think we've got some good community wisdom into this one. And I think we answered some really important questions. If you think this episode of the Making Sense podcast was interesting or it might be helpful to someone else, do me a favor, send it to them. And if it was interesting or helpful to you, make sure you hit subscribe so that you never miss a trick with your money. If you came in partway through the live, then go back and listen to the Making Sense podcast Spotify, Apple, YouTube. The replays will all be up there first thing tomorrow morning. Make sure you never miss a trick with your money. And until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.